warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Gentlemen, I want to welcome thee to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I am Adam Minahan, sitting here. I'm actually standing, but we are sitting here in the studio. Dave, great to have you along.
It's great to be here, as always.
That was kind of like a weak intro to you.
It was kind of a weird thing to say since I'm the regular co-host.
Yeah, I know.
It's great to have you along, Adam.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I'm glad I'm here. It's good to be here. It's good to be here.
Evenings.
Yes. I had a great weekend, though.
Excellent.
It was, and I actually had an opportunity to smoke a cigar, which I don't.
I saw you, actually.
Yeah, you actually did. But I've been smoking a pipe recently, which has, like, curbed my cigar smoking.
Yeah.
So, but our buddy Mike Hands sent us some cigars.
I know.
And so I was like, well, I better try it. It was delicious.
Yeah, I need to get one. You need to share the wealth on that.
I will. Although I did not do a good job of, like, rating it or giving the review, like, Victor on Council of Man as well.
Yeah, very impressive.
Victor is very impressive with his cigar reviews.
Yes, I mean, I think this first time I've said he clearly is... He's probably the best person that I've ever encountered.
He is the Father Brian Ketterer of cigar smoke.
Well, right,
cigars.
But, and Father Brian Ketterer can review a cigar almost as well as he can a beer.
Right.
As well. So anyway, that was I thought it was impressive reading
both
his posts.
Both Mike and Victor are Council of Man members, guys who donate $10 a month to be on our private Facebook page, and we get sent them a Glencairn glass. And so anyway, you can go to thecatholicmancho.com and click on the little COM button to become a member. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking to turn up your manly manliness. Pheromone levels, you should join the council.
There you go.
I don't know why. It just happens.
So, Dave, we do three things on every episode, and we're going to kind of stick to it this episode. We kind of been getting a little bit down...
Blurred lines?
Yeah. Blurred lines or rabbit trails. So we're going to stick to it this episode.
Okay, we'll see.
We'll try. But the three things we do every episode is we open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage. Typically, either a scotch, whiskey, beer. We've had gin and tonics.
Really good gins,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, really, really good gins.
Made me a believer out of gin.
But we're going to go back to scotch, which is like what we started out with.
Okay.
This episode, because I just feel like that, like, we got to get back to our roots.
Okay.
I like, and scotch is where our roots are.
Definitely.
So we're going to do that. The second thing we do is we review a man gear. We highlight a man gear. And that's anything from Dave likes to use flamethrower as, as his example for man gear.
Okay. So, my affinity for flamethrowers is becoming well known, I guess. People have been sending me how-to instructional videos, and I was walking through the grocery store and was thinking, I'm going to actually go home and make that, and I'm going to videotape it, and then we're going to post it on the council page. And like, here's my how-to video of building a flamethrower.
Dude,
for the first time.
I just need to be there. I need to
Heck
be
yeah.
there.
Well,
I
somebody, need to be there. Adam, somebody's got to be the one to pull the trigger the first time.
No, someone's got to be there with a bucket of water and a fire extinguisher.
I think you would look really good pulling the trigger the first time just to see if it explodes or if it works properly.
Right. Okay, hold on. We're already on a rabbit trail. The third thing we do on the Catholic Man Show is we talk about a man topic.
Right.
And that's really anything that we decide.
From a man's perspective. Yeah.
From a man's perspective.
We choose.
Mm-hmm. Which has been deemed the manliest conversation of all time on both terrestrial radio and podcast.
And there's a lot of competition for that award. You know, we have to constantly maintain.
We humbly accepted it.
Yeah, but you know, it's like, God, it's the battle that never ends. People are always trying to take it from us, and we say, no!
So those are the three things. Let's get into the first thing.
Yes, because this drink.
This one.
I know we say that a lot.
But guys.
But this time, this is the craziest scotch I've ever had.
It is the most complex by far, at least for me.
I know it's definitely the craziest.
Yeah. Yes, it really is, man. It's just bizarre. Like, the first time I had it, and I told you, like, here's what it's going to taste like. You ready? Because I tried it first, and I let you have some, and you didn't believe me at first. Anyway, okay, hold on. Let's just get into it.
Cheers. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus.
And our mother. Hold on, I want you to give a toast. Spit that back out. No, I'm just joking.
I didn't actually drink any.
I want you to give a toast.
To who?
Let's give it to all the councilman members.
To the council members, may their prayers be as full and as heartfelt as the love for their women. How was that?
I love putting you on the spot because you always come through. It's crazy. I can't believe you come through. Okay, so what we're drinking.
That was a good one.
That was really good.
May you pray as hard as you love your woman.
So today, we are drinking Ardbeg Cory Vrekken.
Cory Vrekken.
Cory Vrekken.
That was pretty good.
Ardbeg. It's Islay single malt scotch. It's a delicious scotch, but it's very interesting.
It's the only scotch that I've ever tried and said, wow, what the heck?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Okay, it says, swirling aromas of torrents of deep, peaty, peppery taste lurk beneath the surface of this beautifully balanced dram. It is the epitome of Ardbeg, the untamed spirit of Islay.
You know, this has an intensity to it. Sort in the same way Laphroaig does.
Mm-hmm. Because it is peaty.
Mm-hmm.
It is. In fact, Ardbeg is very well known for their peat.
On the technicality scale, they, you know, because you can measure the peatiness of a whiskey, they actually rank higher.
Yes.
You know, in parts per million of the peat molecule, I think is somehow how they measure it. But Laphroaig, if you just drink a Laphroaig 10 and an Ardbeg 10, even though the Ardbeg is technically peatier, to me, I would think that, oh, Laphroaig is peatier, but I think it's just because there's so much else, there's so many other high intensity level things going on in Laphroaig. But this one is very, very peaty as well. But this one also has these crazy high levels of intensity. I don't really know. I'm not as good at explaining the individual flavors as you are, but there's like Tabasco in it or something.
Yeah. So the color is a very light scotch,
but much darker than the Ardbeg 10.
Yes, because the Ardbeg 10 is like
very,
almost
very light.
Like, yeah, like lighter than lemonade type of light.
Oh yeah.
So the beginning, the front taste to me, it there's a sweetness instantly. Mm-hmm. When you first hit it, and then it transforms into this oaky peatiness, and
right.
The end, the finish is what is just blows your mind because it's like a hot sauce finish, like not like salsa, but like a hot sauce, like a Tabasco pepper sauce.
Yeah, like buffalo sauce. You know.
Yeah, I mean almost like a buffalo sauce, but it's more hot. Yeah, it's more of like a habanero type of sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It just blows your mind because I know you guys are sitting there thinking like, it doesn't really taste like that, but I promise.
It really does.
I promise it does.
Do you remember how much it is?
Yeah, it's on the more expensive side. I think it's about $70.
Yeah, see, I may start drinking this. If if this was the same price as Laphroaig, I might drink this one as much or more.
Well, this one, yeah, but this one is like kind of, it's not, the, you know, Ardbeg 10 is kind of their staple, like
right.
Laphroaig. Yeah. This is kind
I have side by side next to my Laphroaig at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it, but this one's just a little bit, they're upscale, I guess, Scotch.
Totally. Is it a 10 year?
No, I think it's a, actually, it's a blend of years.
Of their different stuff?
Mm-hmm.
But it is good.
It is delicious. Yeah, it really
okay,
is.
Okay, so Ardbeg, let me see the bottle. Ardbeg Corrievreken. Mm-hmm. If you don't know how to spell Corrievreken.
Which, I don't blame you.
I don't blame you. I'll spell it for you. Corrievreken. And really, as Gaelic pronunciations and spellings go, that one is fairly straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Corrievreken.
Yeah, and it is just so good. I mean, it's an untamed Scotch.
Right, which is why I like it.
Yeah.
Just like Laphroaig. I don't, mm-hmm. like, maybe I shouldn't keep comparing the two, because they're quite different, really, mm-hmm. in, when you drink them.
I hope, like, I still have quite a bit of this. I've had this bottle, actually, for about, 8 months.
Oh, you still got half the bottle
left.
Yeah,
and I still have half the bottle left.
Such a treat.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll save it for our camp out coming up, so that way some guys can try it. Because, I mean, let me tell you, it is extremely worth trying. Because it is, like I said, we've had a lot of different scotches. Like, we've tried a lot of scotches. I've never tried one that remotely tastes like this.
Yeah, me either. It really is kind of a novelty. It has a lot of that going on. Just, wow.
Yeah.
That is a crazy scotch.
Yeah. It's,
and it's crazy good.
It is really good. So, anyway, hey, we did pretty good. That was the first segment. We talked about the man drink quite a bit there.
Word.
So, when we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So, raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Loving this glass of whiskey. Loving it. Loving it. Loving it.
It's a malt. If you want to be,
yeah.
If you want to be technical, since we're, you know, in Scotland, they call it malt.
Does that mean that technically that's what it is, or that's just what they call it in Scotland?
Well, it's like it's theirs, so that's true. They can call it whatever they want.
They get to. I suppose that's a fair argument.
So,
well, you know, there's a lot of untechnicality going on in the show then.
A great dram of malt.
Yes. Anywho, we're going to move on.
Okay.
To the man gear.
Okay.
Since we're following rules, apparently, this episode.
Well, remind them what the drink is real quick, and then we will.
Okay, we're drinking Ardbeg Corrievreken. Malt.
Boom. Scotch whiskey.
Scotch. There.
No, man
gear it up.
All right. This week's man gear is a weed eater.
Oh, I thought we were doing the fidget spinner.
No, that was never going to be the man gear.
I saw a meme that said I got my kid a fidget spinner for his birthday, and it showed like his kid holding a weed eater.
Oh. Very nice.
Enjoy that. You just, like, loads of fun all summer.
There you go. Yeah.
Enjoy it.
So the weed eater, it was invented in the early 1970s by a dude who was going through a car wash and was like seeing the cloth spinning around in the car wash and thought, I bet I could do that for grass.
In the 70s?
Yeah. In the 70s. Early 70s.
So in the 50s, they didn't have a weed eater?
Mm-mm. I guess not.
Had they...
I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, that's just what Wikipedia said, so...
Huh. That's interesting.
So, yeah. And so it's weed eater was the first brand. It's kind of like Kleenex.
Right.
You know, it's not... You know, it's a tissue, but you call it Kleenex.
Yeah.
Same thing with weed eater. So...
Huh. What about weed whacker?
Same thing. It's the same thing.
That was a brand?
No. I mean, I'm sorry. It's the same thing, but it's just the generic version, like what you call it generically.
So the real thing, it's really a weed whacker.
There's a lot of different names for it. So there's multiple names for it. So, but I thought that was really cool that, like, you know, in the 19, like, he was sitting there thinking of a car wash, thinking, I bet I could do that for grass.
Yeah.
You know?
Except instead of cleaning it, we'll destroy it.
Destroy it, right. But you know what? It's interesting because my dad gave me, you know, let me, like, at first he made me mow the yard and he wouldn't let me use the weed eater yet.
Right, right.
You know, and then it was like a rite of passage. I got old enough to where I could hold the weed eater.
Yep.
And it's interesting because to me, the weed eater makes or breaks what a lawn looks like.
I agree. Because totally agree.
It's the details. Mm-hmm. It's the details of making sure that, you know, I used my weed eater as well as like for an edger.
I was going to say, I agree with you if you're using the weed eater to edge
to
with.
To edge as well.
If you're using an edger, then your weed eating
skills. I've never had an edger, so I don't know.
I haven't either. And I don't know. I would say that I've seen people using edgers, and it seems like a pretty slow process.
Well, it just seems like, you know, it's just one more process.
You know what? I have used, my dad used to have one that I used to use.
Really?
It was electric, so it was kind of a pain to.
Well, it just seems like I wouldn't eat, I would it. Either do the edger or the weed eater. Like, I would, like, it's just another process in mowing the yard. Anyway.
Just one more tool.
Yeah.
One more thing you got to get out.
Right. But, as dad, it's really funny. We had my birthday party, I don't know, a month ago or so, and one of our buddies, Blake Berger, came in, and one of the first things he said was like, dude, love the edge job.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, as a dad, I'm so guilty of this. I'll roll up to a house and like critique their yard, how manicured their lawn is.
Uh-huh.
You know, and really the weed eater is the deciding factor, as like you said, as long as you're using it for an edger.
Yeah, because.
But it's the details of getting it clean cut, squared off, you know, mm-hmm. making sure that there's precise lines.
It's sort of like coloring. It's easy to color the middle part.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about about how you do on the edges, on the lines that really make the picture look good.
Mm-hmm. Great analogy.
Yeah, just wanted to really put that in men terms about it's like coloring, dude.
But it really, like, I really enjoy weed eating, actually. I know that sounds weird, but that's, like, my favorite part of mowing.
Really?
Is weed eating.
It's not my favorite. It's the part where you get filthy.
Yeah, it is, but I don't know. To me, it's like, I don't know. That sounds weird. I'm not going to say that. I was going to say, like, it's the art. As an artist, it's the final strokes of a brush. And
who do you think you are, dude?
Yeah, I was like, that sounds weird, and I don't know anything. I don't know what I'm talking about there.
So self-righteous opinions. So.
Well, that's why I said I'm not going to do that because I don't know what I'm talking about. So, but I do know that the weed eater is a must-have for every man.
Oh, absolutely. And they're like electric weed eaters are coming back with the lithium batteries now.
Yeah.
I haven't used one. I still am not sure about them. I mean, maybe
I'm not sold on it.
Here in Oklahoma, look, we got weeds. Okay,
yeah.
Like we got real grass.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got real stuff we got to cut through.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly think that the electric ones these days are super powerful and they last long enough to mow, you know,
yeah,
to do the job. And they're like self-feeding with the line.
Well, yeah, that's not. But they have they have some for gas now that are self-feeding now.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. Dude, this just triggered, but I just remembered that your home present home buying present that I got you was a weed eater.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say that. And it's a sweet one, too.
Yeah, Echo. Uh-huh. Echo brand.
Yeah.
I love Echo brand. As far as
yeah. If you're
going to
get a
tools,
chainsaw.
Yeah, either that or steel. Both
steel.
Of those.
Steel. I think they say steel or Husqvarna.
Yeah, Husqvarna is
another
really good.
Really
too.
Good brand.
Those three.
You can't go cheap on a chainsaw, particularly. I know that's not the man gear today, and we haven't done a chainsaw. We should do a chainsaw.
I can't believe we haven't. We should wait and use that for our camp out.
I'll learn to juggle.
Dude, but you can't. The same thing is for weed eaters. You can't go cheap on a weed eater.
Yeah, but chainsaws are so fickle.
Yeah.
They're finicky, man. Like, one day they just stop working.
Mm hmm.
Mowers are less so. You know, these days, mowers, you can go get the cheap mower, and it's not going to be as good. It's not going to last as long. It's not like if you go get a Honda mower that's going to just, it'll outlive you.
Right. Because you have one that's...
That is. Like, there's a guy in my office, it was his, before I was born.
Right.
My mower is older than me.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And it is like a champ.
Mm-hmm.
It's an old commercial Honda mower, and it's... Thing first pull starts right up. It's got it's still self-propelled, working great. You know, mm-hmm. I don't ever use self-propel on lawnmowers. Annoy me just to use them. I don't care if other people use them. I don't care at all if anybody else is using self-propel. It's like I don't care what you do with your lawnmower.
Right.
But for me, they're annoying. They always go too fast, I think.
Oh, dude, the new Honda ones that I bought a new Honda one, and it has one where it's like it's a throttle.
Really?
Where you can, like, basically, like, as you go, you can push it down, mm-hmm. and the more you push down, the harder it goes.
The ones I've seen that I do like have the handle that you hold slides on a track, and so it is always going the same speed as you. All you do is walk faster or slower, and it's just always matching your speed.
That's nice.
When I used to work at the hospital, they had beds that were self-propelled like that. Where all you did was click the button,
mm-hmm.
and you could go backwards, forwards. I mean, and they were so sensitive, it would just follow right along with you.
That's cool.
Every now and then, they would actually get out of control, and you had to not crash into the wall.
I'm going
to
say something, though, that is a little maybe controversial, that guys will probably not all agree with me.
All right, so we're talking controversy and lawn tools now. This is serious.
I think that it's important to keep your yard looking nice. You know, there's guys out there that kind of is like, it's just grass. You know, let it grow, you know, chop it down and have big clumps of dirt, grass everywhere.
Yeah, and they say, oh, I have more important things to worry about.
Right, which I see that argument. But what really actually led me towards this, minus the fact that my dad was like a lawn Nazi,
yeah,
like, you know, but was whenever when you and I were talking, and I think you actually said it, you said, you know, my house isn't my house.
Mm, yeah.
It's God's house, he's given it to me
right.
to take care of. And because he's given it to me, because it's a gift,
mm-hmm.
I have to take care of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, by taking care of it, you manicure it. You make sure that it's, you know, looking as nice as it can.
Yeah.
And so when you said that, I don't know, this was years ago,
mm-hmm.
5 years ago, 10 years,
I haven't lived in that
maybe
house.
Maybe 5 years.
Yeah, I think it's probably 4 years, 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, but I remember kind of having that realization that, you know, I shouldn't just let things fall into disrepair because this is a gift that's God's given me, and I should make it as beautiful as I can. You know, I have an obligation to maintain it, and not only maintain it, but to kind of keep it in a state of beauty. And it's easy to be prideful, to, you know, slip into, oh, I want to have the best yard in the block, and I do,
yeah.
But, you know, that's not why.
No.
And I really don't have the best yard on the block.
No, I don't either.
I actually made a critical error at the beginning.
Dude, you did.
It was terrible.
Well, you shouldn't spray grass and weed killer when your grass is growing.
I know. I just, it looked dormant, okay?
But I do think that it's important to, you know, things that you own, you know, if you have a nice car, you know, if you have a car, it's yours, you should take care of it.
Right.
You should, you know, maintenance it. You should make sure that it's nice and as nice as it can be.
Yeah, and it's kind of like dressing up to go to church. There's like an analogy there too. Present, you know, present yourself, present your things well.
Yeah. Boom, man gear, weed eater. When we get back, we're going to talk about
lawnmower chainsaw.
When we get back, we're going to talk about heaven. That's what we're going to do. Talk about heaven. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side. So raise your glass.
Show. I was just enjoying the music. I was just enjoying that. So
it's sweet music. Nobody's gonna blame you for that.
So we are drinking Ardbeg Korevreken.
Nice.
Yes. Yes.
It wasn't perfect, but it was pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Which is a delicious scotch.
Somehow I have made myself the judge on what is a perfect pronunciation of this Gaelic word that I'm so familiar with.
That you had to look
wasn't
up.
Wasn't perfect. Wasn't perfect.
That you had to look up like 3 minutes before we started the show.
Yeah.
Anyway, a delicious scotch.
A computer told us it was Corrievreken.
Yeah, and that's why we didn't go with it.
And then we found an actual Scotsman reviewing it, and he said Corrievreken. And he said it was incredibly sexy.
Yeah, it's a sexy dram.
And I was like, you know what? It kind of is. I think you're right about that. I don't know why.
Our man gear was the Weed Eater.
Weed Whacker.
Weed Whacker.
I feel like Weed Whacker is dumb. I don't like that.
No.
And maybe that's just because nobody around here says that. Maybe in other parts of the country, that's what they say. And they think Weed Eater is weird.
I can't remember. There was a... like for Australia, they use like a different word, and I can't remember what it was. I was gonna try to remember it for Steven.
Like a dirt whacker?
No, it was like something different. And then they have one for UK as well that's different.
In my mental image, and I know we've got listeners in Australia, and it's too late. I can't back out. My mental image of Australia is one of the outbacks where it's basically a desert.
Yeah.
And maybe the outback isn't even a desert. I don't even know. I've never been.
Yeah, like safari-esque.
Right, yeah. Where it's like, you don't weed whack that thing, just pull it.
Yeah.
Pull it out of the ground.
But
it's the only one out here.
But this topic I thought would be a little bit more uplifting.
Okay.
Than maybe our last couple topics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about heaven.
Sweet.
Which I think is very important to talk mm-hmm. about.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But I will say that, just as a note, I think that regardless of what we say the next two episodes, or next two segments, that once, God willing, we get to heaven, we'll look back on this and just, like, laugh. Like, about the questions that we'll ask and the answers that we provide,
yeah.
Because it won't be even close to good enough.
Well, right. But I think, you know, since we'll have an enlightened intellect at that point, we'll mm-hmm. realize that the things I said are funny, but only because the English language lacked the ability to completely describe my thought.
Okay.
Because nice. I'm pretty sure I got it on lock.
Okay, so let's start off. Let's go to the Catechism. Great place to start.
Sweet.
The Catechism in 1023 says they define heaven as eternal life with God, communion of life and love with the Trinity and all the blessed. Heaven is a state of supreme and definitive happiness, the goal of the deepest longings of humanity. Those who die in God's grace and friendship are perfectly purified, living forever with Christ. Boom.
I agree.
So real quick, also, before we kind of get into some of these questions and answers, I thought we could talk a little bit about how to talk about heaven to your kids, because I know there's a lot of dads.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That, you know, listen to the Catholic Man Show with their children, which children, I think you should applaud your dad for doing so. That's a manly thing for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think it would be important to talk about how to explain heaven to your kids, because even, Pope Benedict, when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, said that it's not a good idea to talk about or like kind of fantasize heaven as just a better current state.
Yeah, a better earthly life.
Earthly life, right.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a bad idea, because a lot of people are going to look around and say, well, this life's full of misery and suckiness.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just less suckiness in heaven? Is that what you're telling me? You know, like,
right.
That's how that could be misconstrued.
Right. So here's how I did it with Luke. Luke is 4.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go this route.
Okay.
And then I'll let you critique and then tell me yay or nay or whatever. Because I was trying to figure out, okay, how do I, you know, talk about heaven with him? And I said, okay, it's too much.
Yeah.
We'll start here. I'll ask him, what is our goal? And Luke says, to be a saint. That's simple. That's easy. But it's really funny because that was, you know, I just wanted to teach him, like, hey, that's our goal early. Mm-hmm. This is our goal, to be a saint.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting that the organic conversation that followed, that flowed from it, because he instantly said, "Well, what's a saint?" That's a great question. I said, "Somebody who lives with Jesus forever." And then he said, "Are they at Mass?" Because, you know,
that's where Jesus is. Yeah.
Right. And I said, "Well, they are at an eternal banquet," mm-hmm. you know. And then he said, "Well, so is it at church?" I said, "No, it's the people who have passed, who have died, who now live with Jesus." And that's kind of just how I left it. I'm not going mm-hmm. into hell yet with him.
Right.
So you
don't want to scare him.
Right. So, anyway, that was kind of the organic conversation that we had. That was really fun because I didn't realize he was going to ask questions. He's getting to that stage where he starts asking questions, which is so much fun as a dad.
That is a fun. I like to be the one asking them questions.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the only way to go.
I like to ask, infinitely open-ended questions. Where you just are sitting there and you just look at him and you say, "So what do you think?"
Right. Yeah, and let him go.
You don't say about what? You just, right. In general, what
right.
do you think?
And let him go. So anyway, I think that that's a good way. Like, what are your thoughts?
No, yeah, I think that's perfect. You know, and that's the way with all these realities. In some way, that's what the church does. Well, hang on. You have to try to explain the complex thing in the way that they can understand. And really, I think that's what the church is doing for us throughout this entire life. They're taking, you know, the Holy Spirit is taking these things and working through the church and like taking us by the hand. You know,
right.
Come here, little children.
Right.
Like, I'm going to try to put this in.
Well, it's just like think about what Cardinal Ratzinger was like, right? Like thinking about writing this is like, no, they won't get that. You know? And it's like, how do I dumb this down? Yeah.
No, there's too much. Yeah. Let me sum up.
Right. St. Thomas Aquinas probably did that over and over and over again.
Yeah. How many face palms do you think he did in his life?
Oh man.
He's up there.
Especially like when one of his four scribes were like messing up. It's like, listen. Anyway, okay. I don't want to go into that.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you think that's good?
Yeah. So I think that's a good way to do it.
Okay.
With your kids.
So as we were continually talking about heaven, I love this quote. It's talking about when you talk about heaven, you talk about we're trying to answer questions about heaven, and it says a fool rushes in where angels fear to tread. It's mm-hmm. like that's us. We're fools trying to talk about heaven here on earth, but here we go.
Right.
Let's do it. So Dave, what would you say if someone said, you know, how do we know anything about heaven?
Well, I would say that it's been revealed to us
mm-hmm. divinely.
Divinely revealed through the, you know, way back, starting with the prophets. Mm-hmm. The early Jews had a sense of an afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
But they thought that if you didn't have any kids, that meant you weren't going. There was definitely a thought early on where if you had no children, you weren't going to participate in the afterlife, because the covenant God made with the people was descendants more numerous than the stars. So if you had no descendants, a lot of people took that to mean, well, clearly you're not participating in the covenant. So
interesting.
You're not going to heaven.
Interesting.
Okay, so then I think it developed over time. I'm not really sure what the view of heaven was around Jesus's day.
Well, it'd probably be the same.
But no, I actually suspect that it would have developed quite a bit from that early on.
Okay.
That's just my assumption. But really I don't know.
Right.
But then, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we know about angels. Mm-hmm. And I always wonder, how do we know that?
Mm-hmm.
Aside from someone having a private revelation.
Right.
You know, and it seems like that might be the only way to know.
Well, there's only
a couple angels mentioned in the Bible.
Right. That's true. But I think that, we can come to know, you know, about heaven through the divine revelation, but through reason in the scripture.
Sure.
And then also our imagination. You know, that's something that like our senses, like one of our senses that God gave us that we don't use very well anymore. Hmm. I think in a modern era.
I wouldn't call it a sense, but I think I know what you mean. It's not one of our senses, but
no,
I know what you mean.
It's not a characteristic.
Yeah. It's one of our things. It's one of our stuff.
Yeah. Man things.
We got stuff.
No, but seriously, I mean, your imagination. I think Peter Kreeft is a great example of a guy who has a vivid imagination.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a book about there's three people. It was a dialogue between three people. It was JFK, Huxley, and somebody else. I can't remember off the top of my head.
He's done a couple books like that.
Yeah, but it takes
conversations.
Yeah, and it's like it takes wild imagination to do stuff like that. Anyway, I just think that our imagination is key to helping us, you know, think about what heaven could be like. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Jesus, I think, mentioned a lot about heaven. I mean, he
actually mentioned more about hell.
Yeah, that might be true, but still,
I think that's true. Anyway, but yeah,
you know, he came to reveal the Trinity to us,
right?
And once I feel like the doctrine of the Trinity in and of itself reveals a lot about heaven.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, with God, yeah, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
That'll be a good place to pick up.
Perfect. When we get back, we're gonna continue talking about heaven. You don't want to miss it. We're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass.
We'll be right back.
Cheers to Jesus.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. We're talking about heaven. For heaven's sake. This is a good whiskey. It sure is. We're drinking Ardbeg Korifrekken. You need to go get one. If you have $70 you don't know what to do with, this is what you're going to do with it. You're going to put it in a glass and you're going to drink it. It's going to
be
awesome.
Delicious.
You're welcome. Okay? That's all I got to say about that. Any hue.
We don't normally push a drink this hard, so we're being serious.
Yeah, I typically don't tell people to go out and buy it.
Right.
We mention it a lot on the show, but
right.
Adam, I have a question for you.
Okay.
It's about heaven.
Okay, I'm nervous.
Yep, because I'll bet you don't know the answer. If heaven is outside of time, when we die, are we essentially getting there at the same moment as everybody else? Like, everybody from Earth who's died? It's like we're all sitting there in this big line, like, I just got here. Me too. It's like, you died a millennia after I did. And you're just getting here now? Like, we walked up here at the same time. Because it's outside of time. You know, it's not like they've been there longer. There's no time in heaven for them to have been there before us. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What's your answer?
Well, first, I'll just like make sure you guys know this is I'm not positive on the answer.
Okay.
And I'm not a theologian.
Okay.
But my answer is no, it's not like that.
You're because, not all arriving at simultaneously.
Correct.
Okay.
Because there's a moment in time when we have a resurrected bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So heaven is not necessarily in time. It's not like confined by time. It's not like restricted by time.
Mm-hmm.
But there seems to be some sort of sequential path. Like, I can't.
Yeah. So when you die, it's like, oh, yeah, no, our bodies have already been resurrected. Like,
right.
That all already happened.
I can't describe it because it's like we're trying to describe something that you can't describe in human. On Earth.
I just don't have enough time to explain it all to you.
Right, exactly. But I would say no.
Okay, so I believe it was Aquinas who talked about the different types of time.
Okay, that sounds right.
And how in heaven there is a different kind of time. Not in the temporal sense that we know here, where it's like tangible, measurable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure time isn't necessarily tangible, but it's measurable, you know.
Right. I can't grab time.
Right. But in heaven, there is a sense of progression, right. Journey.
Sequential, like linear like
you,
type of...
Like I don't know if it's linear.
Yeah, I don't know if it's linear.
But there is like a sense of journeying, of movement. And you're always moving towards like deeper into the Trinity
mm-hmm.
forever.
Which is why it's not boring.
No, it's definitely not boring. And it's not, it's because it's always new.
Right.
Heaven is always changing.
Yes.
It's in a constant state of beautiful flux into a deeper and deeper and deeper. It's like you're just like, ooh, let me explain it this way. This could be it, Adam. This could be it.
Okay.
Have you? Yeah, I know you. You have a memory foam mattress.
Yes.
You know, like that feeling, new sheets. Do you have cold, like winter sheets?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are those sheets called?
Flannel.
Flannel sheets, yeah. Or jersey sheets, where they're clean and you kind of sink into them, and you like for that moment you're just sinking in, and it just like the further you sink, the better it feels.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be like, except you're just like forever sinking in.
You know
it's
what?
Like, oh, it's getting better.
You know what the example that I like to use is, you know, the climactic moment of music, like whenever you're listening to some like the organ wailing at mass and they're singing and like it's building up. And then all of a sudden, like that climactic moment happens and you kind of get those goosebumps and you're like,
and you like start giggling
it's like
to
kind
yourself.
Of a,
kind
an
of
an ecstasy like, feeling yeah. of like, this is, you know, you just get blown away. It's like that.
Yeah.
Like
speaking of ecstasy,
constant.
That's also maybe a good analogy. Like,
yeah.
you know, those moments of like just total deep intimate union ecstasy with God that mm-hmm. we all have like daily during our prayer life.
Right. Naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause we all have, I mean, everybody has that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I think that's a really good analogy.
Right.
So anyway, good answer.
I mean, that was just off.
I'll award you half the points.
I mean, you just threw that on me. I was not aware that was going to happen.
All right, ask me a question. I want to.
Okay.
I want to answer one.
Here's a good one. Will there be sex in heaven?
Yes.
Like, will men and women be having sex in heaven?
Oh no. There will be sex, but there will not be intercourse.
Okay.
Because sex really refers to your gender. Are you male or female? So yes, you will still, if you're a man now, you will be a man in heaven.
A full man, glorified.
Yeah. I'm going to look good. I'm just like, oh man, I'm going to look so good
That's
in
pride.
Heaven.
That's pride.
Like, I'm going to be shredded. My hair is going to, I won't have a bald spot. I'm like hanging on to.
I'll actually have a beard.
Like, it's going to be sweet. It's one of those double beards, like one of those Franciscan, you know, like I'm too manly for one beard,
right.
So it splits into two beards.
Oh, I can't wait.
I wish, like, I actually thought about that before I trimmed my beard way back, like maybe I should let it go and try to split it in half. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be
anyway,
awesome.
Anyway, so yes, you will be a man. Let me put it this way. If you were born a man, if you were born male, you will be male in heaven. If you're born female, you will be female.
Mm-hmm.
Not like you can really change your gender anyway. That's
right. That's
dumb.
Silly.
But there will be sex. There will not be intercourse.
I like that.
So Christopher West put it this way. When you're young, chewing gum is like really awesome. Like when you're 4 or 5 and you first start chewing bubble gum, this is one of the coolest things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then as you get older and you grow, chewing bubble gum is not the best anymore. Like on the night of your marriage, you're not just going to sit around and chew bubble gum.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You've got better things to do.
Right.
Okay. So having sex in heaven would be like chewing bubble gum on your wedding night. Okay.
I like that.
There is so much more intimate. It's like, it'll be like kind of a silly, what a waste
right.
of.
Yeah.
You know. It's just a sign. Mm-hmm. Intercourse is just a sign that points to the heavenly reality.
Right.
It pales in comparison to the heavenly reality itself.
Right. I do want to give like some advice that like somebody told me this like when I was younger, and it was not good like when they told me this.
Okay.
Whenever I was like in my teenage years, and you go through RCIA and confirmation class and things like that, and you're really trying to figure out, is there a God? Is there not a God? You know, what the Catholic Church really is.
Right.
Someone said, and I think it's because a saint said, you know, there's not any saints. Or if you love the Mass, you will love heaven. It's something like that.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't say that to a kid.
And it's not something that I would say because, like, at that time, I didn't love Mass.
No.
I mean, or
even like it.
Yeah. I mean, I just went because I was told I had to go and I knew I was supposed to.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that I, you know, I didn't feel like I got anything out of. I didn't typically enjoy it. you know.
I would never say that to a kid.
Well, somebody told me that, and like it made me think, like, well, is heaven all that great?
Yeah, I don't want to go.
So
I'm just going to try to have fun here then.
Right. So don't do that. I don't think that. I don't advise that.
What was the other thing that you, the topic you wanted to make sure to cover?
About is heaven space?
Oh, will we be bored in heaven?
No, we will not be bored.
Totally not. Okay, I think that's a dumb question.
Well, yeah. Well, and that's why I just said that. Oh, I do want to say philosopher Freud, he said a lot of really dumb things, but he did have a nugget of wisdom that I really liked.
Yeah.
And I'll repeat it here. Everyone needs two things to make life worth living: love and work. The two are really one. For love is work, and work is a love. Love is a work, for it is something you do, not something that you feel or fall into. Uh-huh. And work is must be a love, for if it's not, it's threatening and boring.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, I think Freud said a lot of stupid stuff, but I mean, he had a lot of groundbreaking work.
Yeah, and that's...
I'm not sure he's a philosopher, though. He was more of like a sociologist. I mean, like a...
Psychologist?
Psychiatrist or something.
I guess he
could be considered a philosopher in his own right.
Anyway.
Mini philosopher.
Anyway, I thought that was really, really telling, because it's like that talks about love, you know, which is completely what will be encompassed in heaven. You know, it's not something that you fall into. It's not a feeling.
Right.
You know, it's something that, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas says, you know, you're willing the good of another.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just...
So there's not going to be sex. There's not going to be intercourse in heaven, but I'm pretty sure that this scotch will be in heaven.
Will we know everything in heaven?
No.
Because we're not God.
We'll never be omniscient. But we will know, we will have, Aquinas says that we will have enlightened intellects.
Which makes means sense.
That, yeah, we will know all natural knowledge, I think is a way you could say that. So we will know everything about the universe and everything about creation, but that doesn't mean we will know everything, because the knowledge in the Trinity it goes well beyond just the natural creation.
Another one I want to really quick say, because somebody asked Dr. Peter Kreeft this, and here's his answer. They asked, will we have emotions in heaven? And he said, the question prompts a series of questions in the form of, will we have X earthly in heaven? You know, whatever earthly things in heaven. And he says, I believe the answer will be yes, but it's not like the present form on earth. Nothing is simply continued, and nothing is simply lost forever. Everything is transformed as it is at birth.
Hmm.
Which I think is awesome, because it's the same idea of, like, you know, if you're... Oh, man.
Let me say this. Okay. Birth. I feel like heaven is like, imagine a baby inside the
womb.
That's
what I was going to talk about.
They can't imagine what it's like out here. That's right. What it's going to be like for us in heaven. We can't imagine what it's going to be like on the other side.
Yeah. It's going to be so awesome. Man, get yourself and your wife and your family to heaven.
Go to confession.
Stay close to the sacraments. We're on the Lord's team.
The heavenly side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.